So you're a mum, funny. Your mum's 90-something, 90?
97 in July.
Wow. That's amazing.
She's in jail, but...
In jail.
Yeah, but...
Was in a nursing home.
Yeah. Yep.
My mum's 83.
That's young.
Is she funny, your mum, or quite
well,
funny?
Well, yeah, she's got a good sense of humour, good storyteller. You can tell where I get it from, my penchant, is that the word? My desire to tell a funny story when I get somewhere through my... Yes. Wanting to be liked.
Yeah.
But she's good, very good at telling a story.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, my mum's quite funny, and so is Dad. But we were sitting here the other day, and she was talking about, because Dad's got a lot of stuff. Like, for example, he's got two kayaks in the garage. Hmm. What do you need two kayaks for? You're 84, Kev. Yeah. You know, no, he's got a Life Be In It poster.
He won't get Life Be In It. Has he got a T-shirt Life Be In It too? What was that character's name?
Norm.
See,
I'd love the Life. I'll get the Life Be In It poster. But yeah, he's got, like, lots of books, stacks of books. Mm. Stacks of he had old bottles for a long time he used to collect. And Mum just said to me the other day, she's sitting there in the rumpus room, which is full of stuff, right, where they watch the trots and stuff, and she just said, I hope I go before he does. I don't want to clean up this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Because
the Finnish have this thing called the death clean, where they clean up their houses before they know they're, you know, when they get, you know, towards 70.
But say if you see someone cleaning up your house, you know what's going on. You go, I must be out of here. Be dying.
They do it themselves.
Oh, they do it themselves. Yeah. Oh, well, out of courtesy, because most people go, you can do it, I don't care. I'm going uptown.
Because they know what's going to happen. You know, in their 80s, it could happen quickly or it could happen slowly, but it'll be up to myself and Mark, the two sons who live in Melbourne.
Now, I think if we were to open this up to the phones, you'd find there's a lot of people putting their hand ups going, I got caught with that.
Oh, this woman at school, one of the mums at school, Susie, her parents passed away very quickly within a month of each other.
Mm.
She said she took her a year to, because she's working during the week. Mm. It took her every weekend of a year to clean up the house to get ready for sale. A year.
Because, you know, that generation was like, collect things because
they had nothing.
Yeah, we're
I'm going to buy two kayaks because I didn't have any kayaks as a kid.
Yeah, I've got two is better than one.
Yeah.
Because are we trending towards minimalists?
Oh, not in my house, but yeah, I'd like to think
not
so.
Not in my house. We're doing okay.
You've never got that much stuff.
Oh, I opened a couple of cupboards up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they burst open with crap. You go, seriously, if it's in the garage or it's in a cupboard, you got to question it.
Oh, definitely.
What about, sometimes even photos, books, photos, you go, really? Oh, no, I can't throw away that. It's like, it has memories. Yeah, but, you know, just remember it. Don't worry about keeping it to remember it.
Exactly.
Anyway, exactly. I should write a book.
You should. You could be the new Mary Kondo.
Yeah.
Glenn Robbins. And it'd be a surprise to everyone because they go, oh, funny guy, Glenn Robbins. They get halfway through the book and go, this isn't funny at all.
But she does a good thing. I remember they used to do it on Weight, what was the weight program they do on Channel 10?
Big Losers.
Big Losers. They put all the food you ate out for a week or what it was. Mm. And you look at it and go,
Jesus.
Did I eat that?
Did I eat five Dim Sims?
Oh, no.
You know what? I'd look at it and go, oh, that looks good. Smorgasbord.
Can I have a go at this?
Oh, yum.
And then she does the same thing. I don't know if you've seen it. She does the thing. She gets all your clothes and just puts them on a mass, and it's a massive pile on the bed. And then people go, oh, my God, that's ridiculous. And then when they see it objectively, then they realize that they're overdoing it. So it makes it kind of easier. Well, up to a point easier. Mm. And what did she say? Does it bring you joy?
You hold it and you look at it and say, does it bring you joy? I used to work with this guy and he used to work as a writer and he would wear the same thing every day, a black shirt and black pants. And he used to buy them from Kmart.
Yeah.
And then you just throw them out at the end of the week and buy a new pair.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's bad. But
bad for the environment.
I went to Big W the other day. And
you bought that wind cheater you're wearing?
Not this one, the other one, the blue. You know the blue one I took up to Byron Bay? $8.
$8. Yeah,
$8.
You know that wind cheater you're wearing is like something I wore when I was 12 in the 70s. It's very hard to get a wind cheater like that without a hood. Without a hood. Someone was saying they went to Kmart the day. Everything's got a hood on it these
days. Today's a big day. You know what?
Why is it? Hoodie day?
I think I've transitioned from a collar guy to a t-shirt guy.
Yeah,
because you know, see how I've got no because the collar popping at the top is not a good look. You look like a dad.
Yeah.
So I've transitioned to t-shirt and windshield, which is a big step for me, Mr. Conservative. And
you look a bit more surfy now, more casual.
Yeah, and this windshield.
Well, that's actually a jumper, is it?
It's a windshield. But what colour is that?
Well, it's like it's been in the wash and gone the wrong way. Well, it's like it's a white windshield and you put it in with blacks and it's gone slightly purple.
Well, like a light that's purple. A colour I went, no, I'm not going to wear that. I look like, you know, I won't make a disparaging remark of what it makes me look like. But, and then I put it on.
You look like Grimace. You know Grimace from McDonald's? The big fat purple.
When I do television, they always dress me in pink. They go, you look
really?
Yeah. And I go.
Well, that is kind of a mauvey pink, sort of.
I'm a pink guy.
It's lavender.
What are your What are your colours?
I often wear blues. I don't know on TV.
See,
blues
I think most blokes think they're blues and greys and blacks.
Blues and greys. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. I've got what have I got on the moment?
Burgundy.
It's a crimson burgundy. You're right. It's burgundy.
Burgundy.
But I only put this shirt on tonight because I'm doing a sort of a gig tonight. So I thought I got to wear a semi nice shirt. And opposed to ironing, I wear it all day and then it just falls out. It's good. It's a good method.
Yeah. That's. Did you iron that this morning?
We should write a book together. Tips for Modern Living, Glenn and Dave.
That's. I think we would find that one in the op shop pretty quickly. Okay.
All right, here's the music. Music.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
There you go.
Well, welcome to the podcast. What a great time. Two topics. We don't know how they're related. And then we told at the end. So it's a journey. You're on a journey with us.
Yeah. And, you know, we don't – look, I think your general knowledge is pretty good. I come more from a layman who doesn't know anything.
Sure.
Who But
even though I am hosting a trivia night tonight and the guy sent me the questions and answers, I didn't know hardly any of them.
You'd be very good at a trivia night.
Yeah, but I didn't know some of these. Do you want me to tell you one of them?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you one. Yeah. Well, I knew this one, but you might – I reckon you know this one because it's showbiz.
Yeah.
Patrick Swayze did Ghost. Who turned that role down? I reckon you know this one. Who turned the role of Ghost down?
Kevin Costner.
No, Paul Hogan. See, I knew that. Can you believe that? Paul Hogan turned down Ghost.
Yeah, I think now that you say it, I remember it.
Yeah. But some of these other ones, oh my God. Hang on, I'm just going to give you one and then we'll move on. Which is the longest road, not highway or freeway, within the metropolitan Melbourne that does not change names? So don't go Punt Road because that changes the whole street.
Yeah, for people interstate, then it's
pretty boring question for people interstate.
I think road.
Just have a guess. Any road. You've been on this road.
Sydney Road.
Springvale Road. Sydney Road's a very good answer, actually. Mm. Okay, I'll give you one more. This is for everyone around Australia and the world. According to historians, what's the oldest known board game in history?
Well, people would go for Monopoly, but I'll go Chinese Checkers.
Oh, you're good, but no, backgammon. But you were on the right thinking, I went Monopoly.
Yeah.
And, of course, you've got to think outside the square and think, what are those board games that you see old Asian guys playing in the park?
Yeah. Yeah. Or it could have been hopscotch or something like that. Mm. Or something, yeah.
Yeah, something, yeah. Checkers is a good question. Or chess. Chess.
Yeah. What's that game you play in the car? I Spy.
That's board game. Should we get a topics?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Sam, what are the topics?
Dogs and Velcro.
Oh, gee, dogs and Velcro.
Things that have you got a dog at the moment?
Never had a dog.
A cat guy?
I'm a cat guy.
I remember your cat died and you cried.
I cried when the cat died.
And you were away from home.
I was at the Fox Studios in Sydney filming Headliners, a show which you were involved in.
Yes.
In the 90s. And it was it's like a stand-up show on Foxtel.
Yeah.
And
I'll tell you, it was not unlike Comedians in Cars getting coffee.
Yeah.
It would pick you up and drive you to the gig. Then you see the gig and then you get in the car and you drive home again. It was kind of like, hang on.
And the great Marty Sheargold hosted the first series.
Yeah.
And I hosted the second one, I think.
Did you host the second one?
Yeah, I hosted the second series. Yeah.
Anyway, so you're doing that.
And
someone texted you, someone told you that.
The vet rang me.
The vet, that's a big deal.
He said, Shunal just died on the table. We knew she was sick. Mm. And you know the thing, and she said.
Cats and comedians.
She let out a death knell, like a death cry. Because he said that's quite common. Before they die, they let out one last. She had a good life, though. She lived a long time.
That's what you got to remind yourself. And as I said to the vet, you do this, you put cats down all the time. How do you do it? She goes, well, it's a gift because you're taking them out of their pain.
Ah, there you go. I was in this studio. I was just walking along. There were tourists and stuff. And then I saw Anne, who was working on the show as a producer. She goes, are you all right? I said, my cat just died.
Yeah. I mean, I was gone when my cat went. I was gone.
What was his name?
Torty.
Torty, I met Torty.
Tortoiseshell, the Burmese. And we took her in. Because you get to a point where you go, it's You wait. Then you go, now, got to do it now, because she's just, it was terrible.
Yeah, it's awful.
And brought her in. And the vet that had tended to her all that time goes, I can't do it.
Oh, really?
She had to call in the oh big guy, the boss, because she was too attached to Tordy. Oh, Tordy was the most, getting a bit teary now, actually.
Yeah, what's the problem?
Yeah.
But anyway, I've never had a dog. Amelie, the cat we've got at the moment, is quite old too. She's older than the kids.
Who's like that?
Amelie, our cat.
Oh, you got a cat at the moment?
Yeah, 16 years old.
16. Well, yeah, Tordy went at 19.
Wow. Yeah, Schnoodle was about 16, I think.
So you're not giving it any tablets or injections or anything?
Not
like
at
that?
The moment. So that's good.
That's good. So anyway, it's dogs and Velcro. Let's talk about...
Well, dogs. I always wanted a dog. And as a kid, there was a dog across the road called Cuddles. And we used to hang out with Cuddles a lot.
Yeah.
Cuddles
yeah.
and dog. We used to feed it when they went away. We loved that dog.
See, this is an interesting thing. Other people's cats usually aren't very appealing. No. Your own cat, very appealing.
Mm.
Other people's cats, not very appealing. Generally speaking, other people's dogs...
Appealing. Yes.
So dogs... you know,
I mean, you were loving the dogs on the beach in Byron when we were up there.
Was I?
Yeah, you were petting a few dogs. Whereas I tend to avoid dogs. I'm just like,
because yeah, something might go bad.
Yeah, I just, you know, someone get bitten or anything.
Yeah, I look because
you know that great thing where in that Peter Sellers movie where he's sitting outside the front of a bar and with a dog, and the woman goes, "Excuse me, does your dog bite?" He goes, "No." She pats her and goes, "Ah, it bites her." She goes, "I thought you said your dog doesn't bite." He goes, "That's not my dog."
He's not my dog.
Now, the other great one where he takes the people up to the room and he goes, "I hope you'll have happiness." She goes, "Pardon me? I hope you have a penis." happiness. Oh, sorry. Great Peter Sellers.
I was down the beach with my mum's dog. She had a fox terrier.
And they're cute.
Yeah, not quite cute, but a little bit removed.
Yeah.
A little loose.
Some dogs are a bit arrogant. I had to do this dog show on Channel 7 the other day.
Yeah.
So they said,
you had to do a dog show.
I know, well, you talk about dogs. And I said to the woman, "I don't own a dog." They said, "It doesn't matter.
Has this come out yet?"
No, not yet. I don't know when it's out. And we had to count down the top 20 dogs.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you had to respond to, all sorts
of dogs.
Oh,
they gave me all the dogs. And I didn't know, when I look at them, I know exactly what they are, but I don't know the names of them. So...
And then you respond.
Well, Labradors. Everyone knows what a Labrador is.
Yeah, Labrador is just,
and that's cute. They're cute. You know, if I'd be a dog, I'd be a Labrador.
And
German Shepherds. I said, well, you know, German Shepherds are, you know.
I'm not big on the German Shepherd.
Who has a German Shepherd? You know, unless you're walking past a car yard late at night and you see a German Shepherd, that's when you should see a German Shepherd.
I played golf the other day with a guy who's the police trainer for the German Shepherds.
Oh.
And he showed me photographs that he shouldn't have shown me. I shouldn't talk about this. Of what the dog can do to criminals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think that's a dog like that coming at you is one of the
frightening.
So frightening, because there is nothing, it can outrun you. It's got.
What about when you're at the airport and the beagle and the German Shepherd comes up to your bag?
we landed in Tasmania the other day and there was a guy there and he was a hippie guy and the dog's going, "Something in there." And he was looking really cool. I'm going, "Something's going on."
Yeah.
And then I saw him outside. He goes, "Oh, no, probably just." And it was just
residue,
like.
Residue man.
Yeah. Or he had them somewhere.
What about the explosive test? Oh, a bit bum. What about the explosive test? You ever had that one done on the bag? You know?
I had it done just the other day coming back from Byron Bay.
You know, it was one of my friends saw Michael Diamond, the Olympic shooter, go through once.
Mm.
And he turned around and said, "Watch this." Because the machine went berserk. Because he's a shooter and he's got all sorts of crap.
So what does he do?
He just explains, "I'm an Olympic shooter. I'm going to have explosive residue in my bag.
So
I'm a shooter."
So there's the way through the system.
Let me get
but you'd have to prove it.
Yeah, let me get my guns out of the bag and I'll show you.
anyway, so
wait a minute. I've got to get my guns. Dogs. We're talking about dogs, sniffing dogs.
I was going to tell you a story.
Did you have a dog as a kid?
Yeah, we had Bill. Bill was good. Bill used to put underpants on Bill, go for a walk with him.
Oh, funny. What sort of dog was Bill?
Black Labrador. Put the underpants on backwards so his tail would go out the fly. Really funny, get a lot of laughs. Then he'd get up the street and have a crap in the underpants. Dad's underpants. And have to just put him back in the drawer. I don't think we even washed them, just put him back in the drawer.
Oh, do you remember the days, though, when you didn't pick up poo? Remember that?
Well, that's today for me.
Right. You look after the greyhound, don't you?
But she only does like jelly beans. I told you on this podcast where I faked it.
And then the
it was at the fence.
Mm.
And he was a good guy. He goes, "I'll get your bag." Mm. But look, no, I do.
Who does the routine? Jerry Seinfeld? If aliens came down to Earth, they see us picking up dog poo, they go, well, the dogs are in charge.
Yeah.
Let's talk to the dogs. Let's not talk to the
Who does that other routine where the dog's at home all day by himself, wants to go to the toilet? And he says, I'm hanging on for my owner. And he takes him out for a walk, has a crap, the guy puts it on in his bag, in a plastic bag, and brings it home. And the dog goes, I could have done that.
Yeah.
I could have crapped in the house. I could have cut out the middleman. I could have cut out all the trouble. So dogs, what else can we say about dogs?
Dogs, well, you know, they bring a lot of comfort to people, I have to say.
Absolutely. I know my blood pressure goes down when I get around a dog.
Mm.
Just something where you...
But there are dog people, though. There's people down the park, right, that have dogs and they don't talk to other people. And once you get a dog, they start talking to you. And one of my friends...
Oh, you're not part of the group.
Yeah, one of my friends got a dog and they all started talking to her. She's like, you didn't talk to me beforehand. Why are you talking to me now? Because I got a dog. But one of my friends, he got dogs and he goes down the park. And then when I went to he had an afternoon tea. The afternoon tea was just full of old ladies, widows mainly, who had dogs. They're all the social group now are just dog owners.
Well, I talked to a friend who's a psychologist, and she said, wasn't my psychologist, she said that the loss of an animal can be more profound sometimes than the loss of a human.
Oh, well, particularly if you don't see the human a lot, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if it's your cousin or someone like that, but if you're living every day with a dog or a cat.
Yeah, and it's such a part of your life, and the dog knows you so well.
Yeah.
You know, it's just...
It's traumatic.
It's absolutely traumatic.
There's that great ad, isn't there? I think it used to be for SEC or a power company where they showed people coming home from work and their little kids running up and hugging them.
Mm.
And then the guy walks in with the teenagers and the two teenagers are sitting on beanbags watching TV. And then the dog comes running up. He's like, oh, yeah.
There's a great YouTube video which is guys who come home from being at war and meeting their dog.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a whole series of the dog. It's apparently a real tearjerker because the dog just completely
loses it.
Yeah. It's just, it's so touching.
I remember my dad came home from war.
What did you do?
He was.
You would have been like, you would have seen him come home from Vietnam.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
He was, I would have been six.
And what did you do?
I don't know if it's a memory or where the mums told me, but we didn't want to hug him because he looked totally different because he was brown as a berry.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. Mum's like, that's your dad. Because we were like four when he left, so we were five when he got back. That's your dad. You know, pushing you forward. Because there's all those great, you know, those great photos of the girl running towards her dad.
Yeah.
Hugging her dad and stuff.
Well, this
like
is
that.
A very touching episode of Somehow Related. It's very touching. So how long was he away for?
A year. He loved it, though. Don't feel bad for him. Oh, bloody great in Vietnam. Because every photo you see of him, he's brown, he's got his shirt off, he's drinking beer.
He
was on an Air Force base in Vung Tau.
Did he would have seen some sort of action? No, not really?
Not a lot, apparently. The funniest thing was he went back to Vietnam for a holiday in 2000 with mum, and he went to his old Air Force base, and he's like, oh, my God, there were all these bloody tunnels under the base. Wouldn't even know.
Oh, wow.
All these Viet Cong tunnels. Because he said they employed a lot of Vietnamese as cooks and cleaners. Yeah, and, you know, right. He started a scout trip with Vietnamese guys. You know, he was hanging out with the locals.
Entrenched in the local community.
Yeah. But some of the guys that he hung out with were put in camps for 10 years.
The tunnels were there and he was on top of the tunnels and he didn't know.
Yep, didn't know.
Apparently that's a great thing to do if you go to Vietnam is get down.
I've been in the tunnels.
Yeah, but we've talked about this, haven't we?
Yeah, but I can't fit. I couldn't fit.
Shouldn't laugh. Did you seriously not fit?
Yeah. No, you could go a certain way, but then they get very small. And that's why in America, a lot of the tunnel rats, the guys were like Hispanic guys, little guys, they would send down to get.
You know, when you go on a ride at Luna Park, there's like a little sign that says, if you're not above this height, maybe they should have a little like a cutout. If you're bigger
tunnel.
Than this. If you can't fit through, like with your bag at the airport, if you can't fit through this hole, you can't go into the tunnel.
Yeah, the tunnels of Coochee. That's where you go on the tour. Yeah, I went with Kate Langbrook, friend of the show.
What were you doing over there with her?
Oh, we went on a holiday there with a whole group of us in the year. We went there for Y2K. We were there for New Year's Eve, Y2K.
When you were single?
Oh, none of us had kids, yeah. No, I had my partner, the same partner.
Big
Pete was there, Kate and Pete, and a few of us.
Okay,
fun.
Look, enough about we all know about dogs. Dogs.
Okay, let's move on to Velcro.
Because
Velcro, what a rip-off. Tim Vine, great joke, great pun. Velcro, what a rip-off.
I tell you about Velcro, any time you wear Velcro, you feel slightly important. Think about it.
Not if you're wearing Velcro shoes. If you're wearing Velcro shoes.
Okay, you're blowing that out of the water. But what if you've got a wetsuit on, or you've got...
Like a jumpsuit, a parachute suit.
Yeah, you've got on...
A racing suit.
Yeah, something sort of thing, those things you put around your arm for if you're like a skater. you know.
It's
you know,
true, the, actually. Yeah. Yeah, BMX stuff is Velcro.
How was it? You just go, how was it? And you go, yeah. Wasn't bad.
It's a good noise.
Yeah. It's sort of like this.
Except if you're like 70 and you've got Velcro shoes because you can't do up your shoelaces.
It's like that scene in Kath and Kim where Kath didn't want to slip over on the red carpet, so she put those dots on her shoes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and oh, as she's sorry. Walking down the red carpet for Kim's wedding, she's going...
Good joke.
Good joke.
Good joke.
They
should bring that show back. Yeah, you know what they... But they should bring it back like 20 years down the track. You know, like what's happening with Kath and Kim now?
Yeah, does that work though?
I don't know. I'm just putting it out there.
don't kill the message.
No, they love other people's ideas. Well, people always do. Now, look, what about how was Velcro invented? See, I'm trying to think. I've read about the invention of Velcro,
so you may know the answer.
No, I don't. I can't see how it's got anything to do with dogs. I always thought, what are those bindies or what are those things are that they're like a form of Velcro? They're like,
that's interesting.
They're kind of like a form of Velcro, but I can't remember why. Or what year do you reckon? When did we get? We had Velcro in the '70s, didn't we?
Yeah, I remember it being around about that time. Yeah,
because it's pretty cool. It had Velcro stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, like I said before, it just it automatically, you know, you're ready for action if you've got Velcro on.
Yeah, sort of Evel Knievel. Evel Knievel.
Yeah.
Oh, didn't you love Evel Knievel?
That documentary is fantastic.
Oh.
He was just so confident in his own ability. And what did he have, which was Velcro?
His suit would have been Velcro.
Did you ever see the Letterman, David Letterman, in the Velcro suit?
No.
Well, maybe that's something we should... Well, it's more of a visual thing. Maybe we could have that as our thinking music. But he put a suit on and then they would throw Velcro ball and that would just stick to him.
Oh, wow.
And then he ran down a thing, jumped on a trampoline and jumped up onto a Velcro wall and just stuck to the wall.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of Velcro. A lot of those action guys, you're right, a lot of parachutists and stuff have Velcro. Does Velcro wear out? It must wear out eventually.
I think it kind of goes, it just loses its grab. And and you just, because I know with Kel's shoes, because Kel had Velcro shoes. No, he didn't. I tell a lie. He had zip shoes.
Oh, he had Velcro shoes.
Which is worse, zip shoes?
Yeah.
Or Velcro shoes?
Zip, I reckon.
If we were up in Byron Bay, right, and you said, let's go for a walk, and I go, I'll just go put my zip shoes on, you'd go, I'm like walking with you. If I put on my Velcro shoes, you'd feel even a little bit touchy, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but with Velcro shoes, I think maybe he's damaged his back or something. You know, maybe he's getting older.
Because you've got a wetsuit, you've got Velcro on your wetsuit?
Yeah, I have got Velcro
on
the wetsuit.
And do you do it up yourself? You got to zip up the back?
Yes.
With a bit of...
Velcro up the top and that little thing that you
pull down.
Oh, so getting into that wetsuit, though, that is traumatic, getting into that
It
thing.
Is hard work. But I'm fat too. Harder getting it off or on?
I think harder getting it on.
I reckon the ankles are... I reckon getting out... I suppose you can just step out of it, but you're right. Pulling it up is hard. But are you doing the jump pull?
No, you've told me to do that and I've tried that, yeah.
So you go, you pull, you jump in the air and then you pull while you're in the air. And then, but still.
I'm not that good at jumping.
What
else do you have that has Velcro on it, you reckon? Do you have anything else that has Velcro on it? I'm trying to think at home what I've got with Velcro.
Well, some people...
Oh, your hat. Caps often have Velcro on the back. Old school hats. Yeah.
And sometimes in tool shops, people will put Velcro on the wall then Velcro on the item and they'll stick it in the wall. And it's a little bit... a bit embarrassing.
I just had a... What's the sort of like a Pavlov's dog reaction? My sleeping CPAP mask has Velcro.
Oh, no. So hang on, where's it Velcro?
On the sides of my face. So you've got to imagine it's like an oxygen mask, right?
Yeah.
And the way it's strapped onto your face is you put like a harness thing on your head and then there's bits of Velcro to tighten it up.
See, I have this thing. Like I can't wear certain watches because when I move my wrist...
Oh, it gets the hairs.
Velcro is exactly the same. Mark Neal... The comic for many years ago. I used to do a joke about because I'm so hirsute.
Mm.
He'd say that I have my ultimate fear is to be caught in a Velcro factory because, but it can be quite painful.
Yeah,
is there a positive and a negative with the Velcro?
Are they hooks or something? Are they little
is
hooks?
There one side that's like furry and one side that's like hooky?
Let's ask Sam. Sam, how does Velcro work? Is it like a hook or a?
I reckon I reckon it's a hook, and I reckon it's a hook that goes into an area that will catch wherever you put it.
Velcro is a hook and loop fastener. There's thousands of tiny plastic hooks that mesh with plenty of loops on the ferry side to catch the hawks. Hooks and loops, Dave.
So it's hooks. Hooks and loops.
Hooks and loops.
Hooks and loops. Thanks,
and
Sam.
Is there an... I would imagine that if you have Velcro together, you couldn't, when I say you couldn't pull it directly off, in other words, you can only pull it off tearing from one end.
Yeah,
if you sort of tear, if you pull from the middle,
it'll just tear it off.
Yeah, it's too much, there's too much purchase, but you have to do it from the end. So it's quite a powerful grab. So the guy who invented it, surely he'd be sitting up the front of the area. He'd have some money now.
Some coins.
I wonder what Velcro is. Is Velcro. Doesn't sound English, does it?
What's his name?
Is it like a Velcro? It's Velcro.
Velcro, Velcro.
Mr. Velcro, welcome.
Velcro. Where does the name Velcro come from, Sam?
The name Velcro is a portmanteau combining French words for law for velvet and crochet for hook.
Oh, that's interesting. Wow. Velvet and hook. Because what's this is interesting. What's when you know you brush your clothes, what's that?
Oh, that brush you use?
Yeah. Yeah. That's not Velcro, but it's...
No, it's sort of like it, isn't it, though?
Yeah, and what's the... When you do the lint roll, what's the lint roller? Is that just sticky tape?
That's sticky tape.
So that's a bit of sticky tape. That's different. But the thing that you brush your clothes with, that's...
It's like a static remover.
And if you go one way, it catches it. And if you go the other way, it comes off. God, we're incredible, aren't we?
Man, we should work in a dry cleaners.
We've
got so much information.
Dry cleaners. Anyway,
I took my jacket to the dry cleaners the other day and I came back and the button was smashed. But you know, you don't notice. Anything? Well, I didn't notice it straight away until I put it on at home.
The guy at my dry cleaners got cancer. I'm thinking maybe because he's around all that toxic.
Possible. Yep. I don't think it's good for you.
We bought it.
You know, guys that do like fertilizer stuff and that get cancer too. It's not good for you.
We bought a good washing machine and my friend said, if you use the delicate cycle, it's the same as dry cleaning.
Oh, wow.
She's saying that the washing machines these days are really, really good. Because dry cleaning, I don't get what dry cleaning is.
Yeah, I know. It uses chemicals to, I don't know what
does
they
it use
do.
Does it actually put it in a washing machine?
I don't think it does.
So it's all chemicals.
Sam, what is dry cleaning?
Hold on.
Because, you know, when you go and you with that, there's that weird smell. Like, what is that?
But I've seen this big tumble thing. It feels like it's a big washing machine. All I know is when I drop something on my pants, Selena always says, don't put anything on it. Don't touch it because you won't be able to get it out. Because once you start rubbing it, you can't get it out. Okay.
Dry cleaning is any cleaning process for clothing and textiles using a chemical solvent other than water. Despite its name, dry cleaning is not a dry process. Clothes are soaked in a liquid solvent.
Oh, wow. So you're right. You're right. It is. It's like a washing process.
So it is.
It is.
How dare they?
How dare they? What a con. So that smell must be the solvent that when we walk in. Well, I'm going to buy some of that solvent for home. I'm going to have replicate the dry cleaning service.
Do you reckon people come in with bloodstains, they explain them?
Yeah. What about on Current Affair or Today Tonight when they be down on news stories? They just go to local dry cleaners with jackets with 10 bucks in each pocket and go, we tested these criminals at the dry cleaners.
Are you heading towards something?
Yeah, let's have some thinking music. If we can't find the why don't we just have the sound of Velcro? The sound of Velcro.
Wow, different types of Velcro.
I bet you someone's done music based on Velcro.
Oh, wow.
I wonder if there's a Velcro music piece out there.
Ba-bum. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-bum. Ba-dum.
Okay. All right, we'll return.
Have some Velcro.
I've got a pair of shoes. Oh, half as expensive and twice as cool
as my other shoes.
My feet are firmly held in place without the aid of a shoelace.
Dogs and Velcro.
What's the answer there? There must be something to do with the invention of Velcro and a dog. That's as far as I go. It's got something to do with a dog. The guy who invented Velcro had a dog.
Well, you think of it, though. A dog has fur. And if it was to brush up against, say, certain types of grass or...
The cat's the same. The cat comes in sometimes with stuff stuck to it, doesn't it?
I keep on saying I play golf, but... If I go for If I go into the bushes.
I'd be proud that you play golf.
Right? Yeah, such a wank to play golf. Seriously.
Come on, you're a semi-retired man.
I drive an Audi. I live Bayside.
Play golf. It's a good bit of fitness, bit of socialisation for you.
You do politics and political stuff on the side and probably a bit of charity work.
Not really.
If I go into the bushes, certain bushes, I will come out with burrs on my socks that are really hard to get off. And you just can't shake your sock. You got to go one, and they'll be.
You pull them off, and they fall apart.
Yeah, and you got, and it'll be 10 minutes getting them out.
Yeah.
So the relationship between the burr and the sock, is not dissimilar between the
Velcro,
which is the hook
and the loops,
and you know why that happens? Because the plants want to spread their wares.
Yeah, right.
So if it can...
They're populating the world.
So if I can get onto you and I can want you wander over there, I can drop a few seeds.
Yeah, right.
And my brand of tree...
That's probably how we got grass. Our native plants in this country.
Yeah.
Like that.
I reckon that he's probably seen a dog... Because how do you get it out of a dog? You've got to cut it out, don't you?
Yeah, it'd be terrible.
I reckon his dog's gone for a walk through the grass, and he's come back and gone,
ooh.
Oh, that's hard to get out.
Look at that.
What's that? And he's going, but then how would he go from that to Velcro?
Let's get the answer.
Yeah.
The Swiss inventor of Velcro first came up with the idea after returning from a hunting trip with his dog in the Alps of 1941 after removing several of the burdock burrs. From his dog's fur, he became curious as to how it works. He examined the birds under a microscope and noted that hundreds of tiny hooks caught on anything with a loop, much like dog's fur.
So that's incredible. You were right.
Well, it would have to be, wouldn't it? Because I think it's some of those long-haired dogs, which I'd never want, by the way. Would you ever want one of those dogs that you've got to brush them?
No.
You got to. I look at those dogs and I think...
A lot of work.
That's a lot of... And you look at their hair and you go, mind you, I guess if you loved it, but you brush
and you had nothing else to do.
And nothing else to
do. You weren't a golfer. You just had your dog.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
So when you see someone with a dog with long hair, are you going to yourself, you haven't got a life?
A lot of work. There's a guy who walks his dog down the park near me, and it's one of those dogs that's as big as a horse. You know, one of those, like a tiny pony.
I know.
And he's living in the inner city of Melbourne. It's like, where have you got that dog? Where does it live? It's massive.
And what would it eat? Oh, it would eat more than you.
I was in the local supermarket. I call it the milk bar, but it's actually
Is it a
continental supermarket? Run by this.
Continental. So does it have meats?
Have you been there? It's near my house, and it's Albert runs it with Adam.
Because it was you often talk about it, and it was in your sitcom pilot. Oh,
yeah. And but we didn't actually use his shop. We used another shop.
It paints a really because it feels to me like a comfortable place for you to go to.
Bit of a community hangout.
Yeah.
And always hang out to talk to Albert and Adam. Anyway, there was an old lady there yesterday, and she would have been 80 plus.
Mm.
Because of the area I live in, there's quite a few elderly residents, and she was buying like a really expensive steak. Like, what's this sirloin? What's an expensive steak?
Not at the milk bar.
Oh, yeah, he's got all fruit and veg and meat. Yeah, it's like a mini supermarket. Oh, you can buy.
Oh, this is good.
Buy everything there. And they've got a farm where they grow stuff. Yeah, the Flower of Sereno, it's called.
Does the electric doors of the door, does the door go ding when you walk through?
No, you just walk through. There's no ding. The door's just open.
Okay.
Anyway, so this lady was buying this really expensive steak, and she walks off, and Adam goes, you know why she's buying that steak?
Oh, for the dog.
For the dog. And she goes, but not even her dog. It's the neighbor's dog. And she puts it through the fence.
Oh, well, that's sad, but nice too, because it makes her feel as though the dog that next door is maybe not getting that much.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the man next door who's putting his
face, kid
putting his face through.
Why are you eating raw meat? Anyway, we should go back to Byron Bay one day.
Well,
back to Byron. Where else would you like? Where else would you say yes to a gig?
Well, where do you? Here's a question.
Because the thing is, when I asked you,
I
said you wouldn't be doing this gig if it was in Wagga Wagga. Nothing is Wagga Wagga.
Well, let's be honest. I haven't done a gig. I don't do stand-up anymore. Not that I'm better than it, but I'm just – stand-up's one of those things, if you're not match fit, don't do it.
Yeah, but you were very good on Friday night in Byron.
Oh, you know why? What did I do?
Yeah,
I had you up there,
yeah.
And I said to you, if I forget my material,
I'll feed you the lines.
You feed me the lines.
Yeah.
as it worked out, I remembered my material.
Yeah, you're fine.
And it was fine. But the thing is, when you haven't done it, I haven't done it for years. So when you get up on stage, and I had to go to you, the comedy therapist, for you to remind me of the bits.
Some of the jokes.
Because you could do that bit about bit about hats, and I go, what?
Yeah.
Do that bit about...
And then you say, what about my bit about Asians? I go, you can't do that anymore.
things have changed. Yeah.
What about the misses and, you know, the rolling pin? I can't do that anymore.
I did make a joke up there, which I'm not going to repeat, that was very unwoke.
Oh, yeah, well, that's... But, you know, we were in Byron Bay, but then again, the Byron Bay audience was a little bit woke.
Yeah, they were a bit woke.
A bit woke.
Yeah, but...
See, if we did that gig in Wagga Wagga, that imaginary gig, they wouldn't be woke there.
Now you're worried that what the joke was. And I shouldn't repeat it. I can't remember.
Anyway, it was a good time.
Do you want me to say what the joke was? No, I'm not going to.
No, don't.
It's not worth it. No, I won't. I'll tell you off when we. Okay. You'll remember.
Yeah. Email us.
Where would you, if you weren't going to live, if you're listening, wherever you're listening in the world, where would you want to live in an ideal? Where would you, where do you dream about living?
Me?
Yep.
Ooh.
And would you actually do it?
Well, yeah, my partner often talks about it. We should have a gap year where we go somewhere.
That's what Kate Langbrook's doing.
Yeah, I know. She's in Bologna in Italy.
Yeah.
I love Italy. I don't know if I'd live there, though. I don't know. I reckon. So I said to my partner, well, I've got to go somewhere where I can work because we'll need money.
Oh, that's right? A good point.
And so she's like, what about Paris? I'm like, Paris is
good.
But Paris is going to be difficult. And also, Paris is a very hard place to live in.
Yeah.
Very hard place to live in.
Most expensive, is it?
Yeah, England, I could live and work there.
The winter,
yeah,
mate. It's
miserable,
miserable. Friggin' hot over there. Cold over there, mate.
Oh, blake cold, mate. Blake cold. Blake miserable. America, I could possibly work there.
Yeah. But you look at, you see friends living in LA and you go,
Yeah, I know. It's hard
New York,
work.
Great city, but tough in winter.
And LA is just brutal in terms of work.
So what tends to happen is you go through all this hypothetical and you go, okay, I'll go live in Hawaii or I'd go live in on a tropical island. And then you eventually
end up in
back where you are.
Wonthaggi.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I'd go out of suburbs of July.
You'd go beach, wouldn't you? Beach.
I always have to live there. I like the idea of being near the water. But every time I go to Queensland, I go, why wouldn't I? And then I reckon I'd last a couple of weeks.
Too hot for me in Queensland. Too hot.
So you tend towards more of a...
colder climate, I reckon. Yeah, I wouldn't mind Tasmania.
You know what? You need a caravan. You can go anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Or just be homeless. Like, you know.
You could just live in the car.
Yeah.
Live in the back seat of the car.
Well, like any married man, you drive past when you have a fight with your partner and you get in your car or whatever and you drive past the local flats. There's the flats near me and I always go, I can move there. And there's several divorced men that live there. And divorce women.
It's
like Marrow's Place.
I thought you would have, because the pub you work, there's a lot of...
You can live upstairs at the pub.
Is there anything more depressing than living upstairs at a pub? Seriously,
depressing.
You see those guys.
Yeah.
And they come down for the counter meal.
Yeah.
Play the pokies and you go,
oh, no, no, no. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
Well, we've painted a picture. Mm. Anyway, I think we started off a bit weepy and we're finishing a bit weepy. But that's all right, isn't it?
As I said last night at my comedy night, ladies, you've come on a great night. I've just split up my wife, so I'm looking for someone. I thought it was very funny and no one laughed. I'm not choosy. It's a joke.
Interested in new books? Subscribe to Chapter One. Chapter One is a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Each episode, you'll hear the first chapter of a new release book from top publishers. Subscribe and listen to Chapter One, a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Search for Chapter One where you're listening now.